I do need something. Valerie, you don't happen to have a Tic Tac or a cert. Does anybody have a Tic Tac? My mouth is kind of dry, and I sure wasn't going to drink after David. Perfect. That's what I need right there. I promise I don't want to look like I'm chewing tobacco. But that's going to help me get a little moisture in my mouth this morning. I had... Well, that thing is big. Had breakfast this morning and cooked a big old piece of pork and bacon and hot dogs. I brushed my teeth after I ate. And I love that mouthwash to kind of give you that clean feeling, but it just kind of felt like my mouth was dry. So I need a little help to get started. Brother David and Camp Committee, thank you for your invitation, and thank you for your extremely kind offering. I've had the same tax man, Matt, since 1999. His name's Tim Heiser. He's a CPA. He works in Fort Scott, Kansas. He charges me almost $500 a year to do my taxes because I have ministry, I have farm, and I have business. It costs a little bit, but when he sees how kind you were to me this week, and when I deduct my expenses and all that, he's going to tell me, he said, he's going to say, Pastor, you need to move back to Kansas. That's how extremely kind you all were to Catherine and I this week. We've loved it. I'm glad we survived the storm last night. But we about had to take out of here. Warnings were coming in during the service, and it rained like cats and dogs, but our little trailer didn't slide down to Harold's place. I was so thankful for that. And by the way, thanks be to God that Harold Carpenter and Ben are alive today. Those guys, yes, give those boys... When I was talking to Harold and seeing the struggles that have been a fallout from what he's been through, it just breaks my heart. But God had a plan for Harold, and he spared his life. Amen. It wasn't that way with everyone. Because we had to say goodbye to my dear first cousin, Steve Stetler. And I'm telling you, once those people got on a vent, it became very difficult for them to turn the corner. But thanks be to God, God has been gracious. Yeah. Brother Dwight Purtle will never know. 3 different times this week, he has personally spoken to me and said something that he valued. And I don't know, sometimes maybe you just need something more than at other times. But Brother Purtle, thank you for your kindness to me this week and kind words. There are 2 couples that have been part of the COGH for a long time and their families. Brother and Sister Avery, Brother and Sister Mark and Carol Avery have been a blessing to us. Carol, she did our VBS down at Fort Scott. One time, Mark and Carol came down and I asked Mark to preach that night. He didn't know he was going to preach. He preached for me. Another couple that have ministered among you for a long time and have been a blessing to me, and that is these two, Jack and Patsy Smith. Jack has cared for me like his own son and served on the home mission board, and he's helped us at Fort Scott over those years, and it's just been a good relationship, and God has blessed. And I told Brother Purtle, I said, you know, you leave a connection and you think, well, they won't want to have anything to do with me anymore. But I have stayed connected, and especially to Fort Scott. A bunch of those folks came up this week, and it's just meant everything to me. And Lord willing, this afternoon after we eat, we're going to head to Fort Scott and do a little, I don't know what they call it, eat and greet or something tonight. We're going to sing a song or two and share a word at Fort Scott. Stay there tonight, tomorrow night, and then we're going to head back home. So you've given us a vacation to go see our friends at Fort Scott, and that just means everything to me. I probably missed someone. David, thank you for your help to me. And I think your wife and kids have been cleaning the church every day. My wife noticed that. You know, these ladies notice some things that men are completely oblivious to. By the way, the update on this lifesaver, it's getting smaller. I can speak a little more clearly. Now, here's where I'm headed this morning. Brother Gums, thank you. What a powerful message. Amen. If you haven't heard that message, you need to take a look at that. God used him in a powerful way. Amen. What I plan to do this morning, I had talked to Brother John Kay. That's the easiest way to say his name. And I said, Brother John, I'm planning to speak about the Trinity this morning. And I don't know if you noticed, but everything tied together in beautiful fashion in worship this morning. And that was intentional. And thank you, Brother John, for your work in that area. And Sister Marla, for your music. One of the things that is the most enjoyable opportunity that a pastor has, you know, prior to Christmas, a pastor gets the privilege of start preaching toward Christmas, and it's the Advent season. Brother Lowry helped me early on developing some ideas and thoughts around Advent leading up to Christmas. And then by the time you turn that Christmas corner, it's not very long before you start thinking toward Palm Sunday. And you start thinking toward Easter. And then you start thinking toward the ascension of Christ. And then you start thinking toward Pentecost. Yeah. And then the last Sunday of May, sometimes it falls on a different date, but the last Sunday of May for Protestants, for those of us who care deeply about the reality that we serve a triune God, we celebrate Trinity Sunday. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. This morning, I want to talk to you about the Trinity. The Trinity is celebrated on the first Sunday after Pentecost in Western Christianity. And it links the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with the revelation that God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The day emphasizes the triune nature of God, a central doctrine in Christian theology. Even though the term Trinity is not found in Scripture. But there are some key biblical passages supporting this concept. As a matter of fact, one of the most powerful moments in Scripture that we find the Trinity mentioned, that is in Matthew 28:19, which commands baptism. By the way, friends, If you are saved, you should hurriedly experience that most important outward sign of an inward work called baptism. Everywhere in Scripture you see where people repented, it was almost like they were baptized immediately. We were blessed to have a baptismal there in Fort Scott. Where I pastor now, we do not have a baptismal, but we bought a beautiful freestanding tub. And we have freestanding tub baptisms on the porch at Pell City Bible Methodist Church. It works just fine. I don't have to get wet 1,000 times. The key biblical passage, it commands baptism in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And of course, other passages bring us this information in a concise verse, 2 Corinthians 13:14, which speaks of the fellowship of three distinct persons. The Trinity is somewhat hard to understand. Chad, you have 4 daughters. How old's your youngest daughter?
Seven.
Well, St. Augustine, so the story goes, was struggling to understand the doctrine of the Trinity. So he decided to go for a walk on the beach. And he saw a little boy. We'll just say it's a little girl this morning for Chad's daughter's sake. Well, maybe she would figure this out. She's a little older than this story probably. So he decided to go for a walk on the beach where he saw a little girl digging in digging a hole in the sand with a seashell. And the little girl would run off back to the ocean and fill up that seashell and bring it back to that hole and back and forth and back and forth, go into the ocean and bringing back that water. And St. Augustine asked the little girl, he said, "What are you doing, my little girl?" And the little girl replied, "I'm trying to put the ocean in this hole." Augustine suddenly realized that what he was trying to do concerning understanding the mystery of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, understanding that there are three distinct personalities but only one God. He said, "I was trying to fit my mental acuity. I was trying to allow the concept of God by way of the Trinity to be completely understood with my own mental acuity." And let me tell you, friends, God alone is God. We are not God. We were created by God, but we are distinctly human. We will never fully comprehend God. His ways are above our ways. He is almighty. He's all powerful. He knows all. He's omniscient. He's present everywhere. Our concept of God will be good because it has been tutored by the infallible Word of God that is completely inspired. And it is useful for practice and faith. We will understand God to a degree, but we will never completely understand God, who is the triune God. Yes. Number one, God as God. Now, I had a fleeting thought, and it may B, because I had too much to eat before supper, before bedtime last night, I don't know, but I'm going to try to sing a song to you at the end of this service that I wrote a couple weeks ago. So if we can get out of here in time, we may sing a song. Number one, God is God. The concept of God as creator of all things is a fundamental belief in Christianity, as it is the very first statement in the Bible. We're talking about the Trinity, but we're going to begin with the fact that God is God, and we're going to talk about God as God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This verse sets the stage for the rest of the Bible, establishing God as the origin of everything. Not Elon Musk. Origin? Now he is a trillionaire, and I guess his wealth is worth more than the next four guys on the list. He is very wealthy. He could give 348 million people, I think that's the population of the United States, he could give all of us, Chad, $1 million and wouldn't miss it. I'm going to put in my petition. Let me tell you, as smart as he may appear to be, don't dig under the surface too far, because you're going to find out some things about him that will disappoint. But when you dip your toes into the study of theology concerning specifically the study of God, you will never walk away disappointed. He is who he says he is. He is God, the Creator. What does this mean? It means that he is the source of all life, all matter, all energy. Everything we see, touch, taste, hear, and smell, he is the origin of the vast cosmos with its billions of galaxies, stars, and planets. He is also the origin of the smallest particles that make up the atoms and molecules of matter. God is the creator of all. And he still creates. God's act of creation isn't just a one-time event that happened 6,000 years ago. He is continually creating, bringing new life into existence and shaping the world in ways that we can't even begin to comprehend. Every sunrise, Pierre, is different. Every day that God gives us, he creates for us a new opportunity to glorify him. Yes. Every blooming flower, every newborn baby, this baby is coming, it's on the way in the John Kay family. Every newborn baby is a testament to God's ongoing creative power. He is sovereign. As the creator, he has the right to rule over his creation. He sets the laws of nature, the principles of justice and morality, and the course of history. He is the ultimate authority, the highest power, the supreme ruler. Now, one of the things that you always want to mention when you talk about the sovereignty of God, there's this element that God directs and guides and oversees and overrules. But in our town, just a little ways up 231, and then on the back road, we have a couple churches named Free Will Baptist. You know why they're named Free Will Baptist? It's because they believe in the sovereignty of God. They believe that God is at work, and God is over all and in all and through all, but they also believe, like you and I believe, that God creates man with a free will. So we want to be careful that we don't blame everything on God when you and I play a major role in this relationship to God, who is almighty, but also gives you the power to make choices every day. Yes, God is sovereign. And he raises up kings, and he can drop them like flies. There's a whole lot of things that God does, but he also creates you and I with a free moral agency. God, yes, as God. Yes. Jesus as God. In the beginning. We're not in Genesis 1 this time. We're in John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Who's the Word? The Word is Jesus. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Makes it a little easier to understand. Jesus explodes onto the scene at his birth. We talked about that dirt that he came to visit in that stable in one of our songs this morning. Jesus exploded onto the scene, but there was a whole lot of prophetic messages that were being preached that were talking about the coming of this Savior, talking about this little root that would form, this little branch that would form out of the stump of Jesse. But God, through his word, tells us that Jesus, while he had a moment of visiting our world as Emmanuel, God with us, it wasn't that he had been missing. It wasn't that he did not exist. John tells us, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was Jesus. And the Word was God. And the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. But for whatever reason, God delays the birth of Christ. It almost seems delayed. You know, we needed Jesus, didn't we? Bulls and goats and turtle doves and the continual back to sacrifice. It seemed like it was such a cyclical process. That process needed Jesus. It almost seems delayed. But God allows for 4,000 years to pass. And the Bible tells us in Galatians 4:4-5, what profound, beautiful words come to us. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So you see, Jesus is God and was God, even at the time of creation, but he was not revealed as the Son of God, as the second person of the Trinity, until the fullness of time had come. But then there is the Holy Spirit as God. Jesus, God is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But if the Spirit of Him, God, who raised Jesus from the dead, if He dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. My professor at Wesley Biblical Seminary said this to us. He said, we were dead, dead, dead. We were really dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But the Spirit of God comes. The same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same Spirit that raises, that is made available to you and I to be raised from the dead. You don't have to be dead, dead, dead. You can know that the Spirit of God has quickened your spirit and He has made you to be alive. As a matter of fact, old things will pass away and behold, all things become new. Because the Spirit of God raises us from the dead. Paul said it clearly. And then when you go to Matthew 29 again and you see the Spirit's role there, when a person is representing the fact that they are a new creature in Christ Jesus, the full Trinity makes His presence known there. And I think the most beautiful part about the triune God, you remember when Moses was saying to God, I want to see you, God. And God said, you won't survive seeing me. But what God does, He allows His very presence through His person as God and through His person as Jesus to live within our hearts. And He does that through the third person of the Trinity. We've had the age of law. We are now experiencing the dispensation of grace and the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. God still calls us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we know that it was told to us, there's going to come a day that you will worship in spirit and in truth. The Holy Spirit has come to live in our hearts. He has come to save His people from their sin, and He has come to live with us for all of eternity. Yes. Thanks be to God. Yes. Whatever you do, don't ever run from the Spirit's work in your life. Amen. Allow Him to speak. Allow Him to talk to you. Allow Him to direct you. And anything that God is asking of you, make sure you respond well to that today. Yes. Well, amen. Let's sing a song. It's a simple little song. Often what I do is I find a tune that's kind of cool, and then I put some words to it. And I've never played John's guitar, and I can't play like Brother Gums. But it's a little song that at least comes from my heart today. And maybe I'll just stand and use that stool to hold my song. This is probably for a small to medium guy. Yeah. Oh, we have to touch the button, Brother John. All right. You have a little volume out there? Jesus wrote a story, and he put it in a song. It would be for fallen sinners, help them choose right from wrong. He wouldn't care how far you've fallen. He wouldn't care how lost you've been. He would, like a shepherd, save you. He would cleanse your heart from sin. Miracles can happen. Just let the Savior in. Miracles can happen. You can be born again. Now Jesus wants to save you. Whosoever will may come. Like a shepherd leads you. Wherever you have come from, he will always walk beside you. You can guarantee, my friend, just like he promised, he'll be with you till the end. Do you believe this? Miracles can happen. Just let the Savior in. Miracles can happen. You can be born again. Miracles can happen. Just let the Savior in. Miracles can happen. You can be born again. Maybe someone, why don't we stand together this morning? Maybe someone would say, Pastor, the Spirit of God has been speaking to me. I know I'm not right with God, but I want to be a part of that miracle-working grace of salvation today. Is there anyone like that? Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I'd love to pray with you. These pastors would love to pray with you. You can come down to this altar, these front seats, or maybe you want to stay where you are. I don't know. But if there's someone here today that doesn't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I want you to know you can know Him.
Amen.
Jesus is still in the soul-saving business today. Let's pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, thank You for who You are. Thank You for taking stumbling, bumbling words and presenting to us today the Word of God. We thank You for who You are as God. Thank You for Your Son, Jesus. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit today. And Lord, we pray that if there's anyone today, a little child or a teenager, or maybe someone who is on up in years, Lord, if there's anyone today that needs to know You as their personal Savior, help them to make that step, Lord. Help them to respond to the call of God in their lives. We thank You for who You are. For the blessings we have enjoyed together this week, we want to thank You, Lord. You are good. You came to meet with us, and we thank You for it. We give You praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for your kind attention this morning. I believe they have a meal prepared for us, and you are invited. Brother David, do you have anything you want to? All right. The Lord bless you, and have a wonderful afternoon and a good week. This is the best way to start your week, on Sunday in the house of the Lord. The Lord bless you.